Blog Talk Radio.
Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Cantrilla. Thank you for joining me. We're on every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And happy 4th of July, Independence Day. We are having that today as on a live show. And I want to thank all the people who helped keep America free, people like soldiers, troops, army, military, air force, marines, all the navy. Thanks for helping us out, laying down your life for us. Said in the Bible, no greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend, and that's freedom. So thanks for that. And thank you for everybody's listening. I like Independence Day usually. I like the pirates a lot, but still as a reminder, the true freedom comes in knowing Christ and being released, cleansed for our sins, because Jesus died on the cross so that that we can be forgiven. And I hope that you all remember that. And I'm going to get into playing a clip soon. I'm just trying to get into the message board. And I think today also my coolest diagram is going to join us a little bit later. And let's see. Well, type the password in. Again, happy 4th of July, and thanks for listening. Let's see, maybe I'll try to find something. All that. Okay. I'm going to try to find something from Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Ooh. Having some technical difficulties. And let's see. Try and find something to read in the Bible. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that is born of spirit is spirit. do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is the word, whether you can believe, it's not just like, just believe, like, it's like trusting, like, not just thinking of in your mind, like, oh, yeah, it's true. You have to believe in your heart, believe that's true. Trust him. Because it says even the demons believe and tremble. But this is like trusting. Him should not, says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, eternal life, yeah. Same word, same thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world so to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should not be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done. So the basics of that is saying that you have to be born again. It's not a physical rebirth, it's a spiritual one. You have to be spiritually reborn, through repentance and faith, because Jesus died on the cross, so that he paid it, but he tells us to turn from our sins and put our trust in him alone. And then he will make us a new creature that's being born again. And like I said, it's a spiritual rebirth. It's from the inside out. And then he will teach us how to live for him. And one way to read about him and learn about him is through the Bible. And then that's when you truly become free, because you get free from sin. Because without Jesus being Lord of our life, and living inside of us and teaching us through the Holy Spirit, then we are saved to sin. We only can, like, we'll always sin. Well, I mean, it's not that we don't sin as a Christian. It's just like, it's not our master anymore. It's that we had a power to be over it, not sin. Like, and be sanctified. God, like, teaches us and makes us more and more like Him. It's just so before we are a Christian, we have no power, like, not to sin, basically. It, like I said, we're slaves to it. And when we're a Christian, we're slaves to God, but, like, it's, like, a good thing because, like, we have freedom to be over sin. And like I said, not that we ever went seeing sin, but God make us new and better and more like Him. And let's see, I think I got my switchboard up. And that was what I read was it's the book of John and the Bible and the New Testament. And that was John 3. So from John chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 21. Oh, yeah. For everyone. Oh, wait. No, I went to chapter 3, verse 3 to... Yeah, I did do it. It's a verse 21. Sorry for delay. So it was chapter 3 of John in the New Testament, verse 3 to 21. And you're saying, truth be told, really, I guess we'll take a break because I was reading a lot. And here you go. It's from
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Here are two scenarios. The first is, you're standing by the edge of a swimming pool on a hot summer's day. Your flesh is hot. The water's cold. It's not going to be pleasant when you first hit the water. The longer you hesitate, the harder it becomes. Your friends call out, "The water's fine, come on, you can do it, just dive in."
Now here's the second scenario. You are hesitating by the water's edge. Suddenly, you see your beloved 4-year-old sink beneath the water in front of you. He's drowning. Do you still think about the cold water? No, not for a second. Every day, 150,000 people sink into the cold waters of death. Do you need to be coaxed to dive in to reach them before they pass into eternity?
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com. The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron.
Genesis. Now, did Moses really write it? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Did you know that most liberal Bible colleges and seminaries, and even a few so-called conservative Bible schools, teach that someone besides Moses wrote the book of Genesis? Well, this false belief says that the first 5 books in the Bible were written by various anonymous authors. Supposedly, the books were compiled from stories passed down the generations, 900 years after Moses. Some people even believe that writing hadn't been invented by the time of Moses, but there's no real evidence for this belief. You see, the evidence that Moses wrote Genesis and the next 4 books of the Bible is overwhelming. So why did people start doubting that Moses wrote Genesis? Well, it's partly because of evolutionary influences. You see, some scholars say that parts of the Old Testament were ideas that evolved over time and were not truth revealed by God, so they came up with their own ideas. Well, Jesus said that if you don't believe the writings of Moses, how could you believe his words? You see, it's vital we accept Genesis.
Here's a great new resource that will help you better understand the accuracy of the Bible. As we close out the week, call our ministry toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. Make a donation of any size, and we'll send you our 96-page pocket guide on the Bible. That's 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web at answersoffer.org.
This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. I dearly love the Proverbs 31 woman, this God-painted portrait of a godly mother teaching her son. The proverb begins with the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And just what did she teach him? Morals and leadership and fitting behavior for a godly man and future godly leaders. And as Proverbs 31 continues, we see a full-blown description of the kind of woman, a godly woman, he was to look for to marry. Whether it's a son or a daughter or both, we're to be mothers who teach our children the things of the Lord. It takes time and energy and perseverance. So let's first of all live out God's will in our own lives, then teach them to our sons and daughters. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is Truth Be Told Radio, and we're back. And then today, let's see. I got the I think I got a clip. Let's see. Oh, I got,
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Do you ever think about the reality of hell? Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Such thoughts can actually do us good if we have a compassionate heart. That'll drive us to make a difference and pull sinners from the fire as the scriptures tell us to.
Think of a compassionate firefighter. He is diligent in training because he knows what fire can do to human beings. He may even make himself watch horrific images of actual fire scenes. This helps him to cultivate sobriety in his heart. It helps him to see the seriousness of the task that's before him. Today, let's meditate for a moment on the terrible fate of the unsaved, and then, with the help of God, pull them from the fire.
There goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS. Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the...
It's not just about the manger where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about
It's about the cross. It's usually a song that's made for Christmas time, but it's It's still true now. And that was by GoFish. You can find out more about them at GoFishGuys.com. GoFish, G-U-I-S, guys.com. And then if you want to find out some, it's called It's a Stop the Cross. And they have more good music. They mostly do children music, but it's really good music with good theology and Christian songs. So check that out, GoFishGuys.com. And here's the Truth Be Told Radio, but you can find out more about us at TruthBeToldRadio.com. And trying to get some clips uploaded. But let's see if there's anything at the play. Oh, let me see. To play. And then a break. Let's see. Got some. Okay, got a play from A Woman After God's Own Heart. And these clips are by Elizabeth George.
A quiet time with God every day? You haven't seen my schedule. An early night for me is 11.
The truth is, I don't know anyone who isn't busy. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. One day, a friend of mine asked her sister-in-law how her devotional times were going. "What devotional times?" was her answer. She had reached out to my friend for an answer to her spiritual growth, but something was obviously missing. The assignment had been to have a devotional time every day. So my friend did a hard thing. She told the young woman when she'd had that time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer for 30 days in a row, she'd meet with her again. It's what discipline is all about, helping another to grow by showing them the guidelines and then holding them accountable. This is Elizabeth George.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Do you ever think about the reality of hell? Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. Such thoughts can actually do us good if we have a compassionate heart. That'll drive us to make a difference and pull sinners from the fire as the scriptures tell us to.
Think of a compassionate firefighter. He is diligent in training because he knows what fire can do to human beings. He may even make himself watch horrific images of actual fire scenes. This helps him to cultivate sobriety in his heart. It helps him to see the seriousness of the task that's before him. Today, let's meditate for a moment on the terrible fate of the unsaved, and then, with the help of God, pull them from the fire.
There goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
When Christians read, they start in the middle. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America. When I read a book, I always start at the beginning. Well, don't you? You see, when we buy a book or watch a DVD, we always start at the beginning. If not, we won't know what the book or movie is all about. If we don't understand the plot, well, the rest won't make sense. You know, there's one book that most Christians don't read by starting at the beginning. They usually start in its middle or towards the end, and it's called the Bible. Many Christians think that the Old Testament is not important today and that the book of Genesis could just be myth or allegory. But it's about time Christians started to wake up and realize that all of the New Testament is built on the Old Testament and all of the Old and New Testaments are built on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Christians need to start being consistent and read God's Word beginning with Genesis. If not, they'll never really understand many of the wonderful truths in the rest of the Word of God.
Our latest resource will equip you to defend the book of Genesis and the rest of the Bible. To receive this great 96-page pocket guide on the Bible, just make a donation of any size to our nonprofit ministry. Call our toll-free line 24 hours a day at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 24 hours a day, you can reach our nonprofit ministry at 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this great new pocket guide on our website of answersoffer.org.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Welcome back. Yes, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can hear that at blogtalkradio.com, especially if you want to hear our previous show archives. They're all archived after the show ends automatically on Blog Talk Radio. com, and also on iTunes. You can listen on iTunes for free and on blogtalkradio.com for free. And look for Truth Be Told Radio. And then you will find us and please subscribe. And if you can, tell your friends, tell other people so that they can hear about us too. And we try to get the message out, the gospel and telling others, and so that you can help that us by doing that, by telling others about our show and speaking to telling others about Jesus and evangelism, uploading the a clip from Living Waters University, and this one features a man named Ross, and that's it's Living Waters University. It's not really a school, it's like, but it's like it's a video series where they teach people though to evangelize to other people and feature different people that people like Ray Comfort and Kurt Kammer. They will talk to people usually on the street, one-to-one. And this clip features a young man that seems like he isn't really like into it or maybe getting it. And I saw someone put a comment on their video page that said that there's this young man that was like that man, Ross, and it seems like they're not getting it, but he later did become a Christian, and he said, don't, you know, like, basically don't give up, just keep doing it, because there may be a time that that person later will turn to Jesus. Turn from sin. And I'm trying to get that up. Let me try again. Thank you, cancel. Try to upload it. Let's see. Been having technical difficulties with my internet. So if you can, please pray for it. To be better. Let's see. I'll try again. Upload it. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, in case you don't know. And we are trying to get, I'm trying to get a clip up. I upset when I posted was going to join me, but I have to see what's up with him. Maybe he couldn't be on, or he just haven't called in yet. So his name is Guy Reynolds, T-U-Y, Guy Reynolds, and he's on Facebook as G.C. Reynolds. That's G period C period Reynolds is R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, and I'm me. I'm on Facebook as Melissa A. Cantrola, Melissa A., that's my middle initial, and then Cantrola is C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A, that's once again C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A, Melissa A. Cantrola, and I'm on Facebook, so you can add me if you want. And let's see, I'm trying to clip that. Let me try again. Okay, we're going to take a break so I can get that clip up. Thank you for listening, Truth Be Told Radio. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're having a lot of technical difficulties, so I'm going to find something to read for you. And let's see. I got books to read, just got to get them. So we're just going to Truth Be Told Radio to find out more about me at truthbetoldradio.com and our show. And I'm getting the book for us to read. Or we read. Let's see. Gotta remember where I put them. Let's see. Radio is best. Just kidding. But I will find my book. I guess I'll play a clip. I can't play. Message for our break, and then I'll get back to you. Can't do that either. Well, let's see, I'm trying to find my book for you to read, for me to read. I guess I'll just read the Bible, because that's what I have. That's actually the best book to read. Just want to find something. You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio to find out more about it. TruthBeToldRadio.com, and also our archives on TruthBeToldRadio.com, and also iTunes. And we're on there Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Usually I can sell you more clips for you, but I have to more wing it right now because my switchboard is acting up, being weird, like not letting me say anything. So I'm going to go with God and see what I can play. I think. Well, since the answers in Genesis, I was thinking about, they're talking about in the beginning. So I'll read in the beginning. So Genesis chapter 1. And the first five books of the Bible are known as the Pentateuch. And sorry, I might be saying that wrong. That's first five Bibles written by Moses, and it's in the Old Testament. And I will read it. Let's see, with Genesis 1:1 in the Bible. And here we go. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good, that it was good, and divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. That's the firmament of the land. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and so evening. Oh wait, I thought it was land. That means firmament. It was the air, I guess, in between land, and that's the heavens, or heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. So whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide that it was good. Oh, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly over the earth. Let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So that the evening and the incoming, I mean, excuse me, so that the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the earth, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm reading chapter 1 of Genesis. Oh, and that was the end of that part. Well, I guess I'll read the second part with the seventh day. Oh, wait, no, it's the seventh day. Rest in it. Yeah, I guess I must have known it. Well, I did, but I forgot to say about it. Okay, and that was from the Bible of the Genesis 1 and how the beginning started in the first 6 days of creation. And seventh day God rested. Not that he needed rest, he just did that for example to people. Like with the Sabbath, a day to rest. And see, having problems with this message board still. Oh, wait, I got one. I got uploaded the three letter university. I said it was a man named Ross, but actually it's a man named Russ, like Russell, I guess. And let's see, trying to get that. Oh, here, my switch board. And let's see if I could get that played for you. It's on Truth Be Told Radio. And I'm your host, Melissa A. Cantrell, Melissa Cantrell. And I say the A because on Facebook, that's from my initial. And let's see if I got it up. Oh, okay, I got it now. So this is William Water University. It's clips that they do from William Water's ministry, and they teach one-on-one evangelism, teaching people how they become Christian, or teaching others about Jesus. And persuading them to learn more and to become Christian, and of course later that teach others. So you'll hear this regular university with Russ. It's Kurt Cameron, or I'm ready to come with Kurt Cameron. He introduces it. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com.
A wise man once said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains all the muscles in the world and loses his own soul?"
So, do you work out?
Yeah.
So do I.
It shows.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So, did you say you're an atheist?
I'm not really an atheist. I just don't believe in God in general.
What's the difference between an atheist and someone who doesn't believe in God?
I don't really know. I don't pay much attention to it. I just go with it.
Do you believe nothing created everything?
More into believing like energy and...
So where did the energy come from?
I don't know.
There has to be an initial cause. So you think something created the energy that made everything, but it wasn't God?
I try not to put too much thought into it. I'm more just here for me than not worrying about what happens, you know? I think too many people worry about religion and worry about what's going to happen when they're dead so they don't live their lives to the fullest.
Do you love life?
I love life.
So do you think about your death?
Not really.
When are you going to die?
I don't know.
So shouldn't you think about it so you can do something about it?
No.
Do you believe there's something you can do about your death?
There is nothing you can do about death.
How do you know that? That's an absolute statement. You must have all knowledge to believe that. Are you omniscient? There's nothing you can do about it? You know, you've got to be open. There could be something out there that you can do that nullifies death.
So I can live longer.
A lot of people die healthy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people die in car accidents. 40,000 Americans every year die in car accidents.
Yeah.
A lot of healthy people get cancer.
Yeah.
Stay healthy, get exercise, eat well, and die anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Part of life.
Yeah, it's part of life. Are you afraid of dying?
No.
Okay. You think there's no afterlife?
I don't really know.
If you don't know.
If there is, then that would be great. If there wasn't, then I guess that's just what you have to deal with.
Okay, let's surmise there is an afterlife. There is a heaven and a hell. If there is a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there? Are you a good person?
I'm a good person, but I don't think I'll go to heaven.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, millions.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
Liar.
You ever stolen something?
Oh, yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
Stealer.
Thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, yeah.
It's called blasphemy when you do that.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart.
Yeah.
Russ, have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, I'm looking at women all day long.
So now I know why you don't believe in God. You're a self-admitted lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if God judged you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell for sure.
Because you're right about not going to heaven. So does it concern you that if God judges you by those Ten Commandments, which he wrote on your heart via the conscience, if he judged you by the commandments, you'd be damned in hell? No reprieve? It's God's prison with no parole?
I just don't believe that. I don't believe that you would just go to hell and suffer. It's not a belief.
Well, what would you think of a heinous criminal who's been condemned to the electric chair, and he looks back at the judge and says, "Judge, I don't believe in the electric chair." The judge says, "So what? It doesn't change anything." So our beliefs and our non-beliefs don't change reality. And the thing is, you're a moral creation. You're separate from the animals. You know, you've got a conscience. You know, dogs, cats, horses, cows don't set up a court system, but man does, because we believe in retribution and justice. And that's because we're made in the image of God. And God gave you a conscience. Now, do you know what God did for sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Not really.
Have you ever celebrated Easter?
No.
You've been through Easter. You've lived through Easter. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Fridays are called Good Friday. You know why it's called Good Friday?
No.
That's the day that Jesus suffered and died on the cross, took the punishment for our sins.
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, he was paying the fine for the law that you had violated. You're a criminal in God's eyes. He's a judge. You violated his law. You're guilty, condemned to his place of prison, his hell. But Jesus paid your fine so God can freely dismiss your case. You can leave the courtroom because the fine was paid 2,000 years ago by him who died for you and rose again on the third day. And Russ, what you've got to do to get everlasting life is repent and trust Jesus. That's all you have to do, and God will forgive you and change your heart, give you new desires so that you love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, because he gave you life. You know, you're looking after your body, but you're neglecting the life within the body. And what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So will you give this a bit of thought?
No. I probably won't.
Can you believe it? He says he won't even think about it for one bit. You know, he reminds me of the man that Jesus spoke of, who built bigger barns thinking he'd have the rest of his life to enjoy his stuff. What he didn't know was that his soul would be taken from him that night. And this guy is spending his life building bigger biceps and neglecting to be rich toward God.
No, I'm not. I'm very open-minded. I mean,
you're not going to give a thought.
I don't put the idea of that completely away out of my life. I just have different beliefs.
Well, what say you found that you had lymph node cancer tonight? Doctors, you've just got this pain in your neck, and you go and see the doctor. He says, oh, but do an x-ray, and they come back and say you've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Would you think about it then?
Not really.
I bet you would. I had a friend who was 18 years old. He got cancer. His friend said, oh, go and spend the last 6 months with prostitutes. He wasn't interested because he found he had something stronger than a sex drive, and that was his will to live. Something in him says, oh, I don't want to die. And you love life. You're not going to lay down and die without protest. So
I'd put up a fight.
Yeah, well, sure. Put up a fight now because there's something you can do about it. You can find everlasting life. That lady we saw before, is she your girlfriend?
No, it's my sister.
Sister. Have you got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
You love her?
I'm actually getting ready to get engaged.
Okay, do you love her?
Oh, I love her more than anything.
Well, if you really love her, show you love her by leading her into everlasting life. And don't leave her in death, because something...
She's the same as me, so...
Yeah, well, that's because... That's double sad. What you got to do is, why don't you break out from that and find everlasting life and share it with the other, because, man, this is so important, because you don't know when you're going to die. Hey, Russ, thank you so much for being open and talking with me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Learn how to share your faith biblically through the online school of biblical evangelism.
According to Dr. Bill Bright, only 2% of the contemporary church regularly share their faith with others, and many hold back because they're afraid they won't be able to defend the faith.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
Join the School of Biblical Evangelism today. You'll be forever glad you did.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Gonna take a break.
There's a proverb that says, a whisperer separates the best of friends. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. There's a popular cable TV show about women who talk about each other. Bottom line, gossip is harmful. We're called by God in Titus 2:3 to be helpers of women, teachers of women, encouragers of women. Our entire ministry of encouragement shuts down when the words out of our mouths wound others. And those words can never be taken back. The Apostle Paul said, oh, to be like Jesus, whose lips spoke no sin. We're called by God and His Word to serve and to help and to better the lives of others. And no life has ever been bettered by gossip. This is Elizabeth George. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. I dearly love the Proverbs 31 woman, this God-painted portrait of a godly mother teaching her son. The proverb begins with the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And just what did she teach him? Morals and leadership and fitting behavior for a godly man and future godly leaders. And as Proverbs 31 continues, we see a full-blown description of the kind of woman, a godly woman, he was to look for to marry. Whether it's a son or a daughter or both, we're to be mothers who teach our children the things of the Lord. It takes time and energy and perseverance. So let's first of all live out God's will in our own lives, then teach them to our sons and daughters. This is Elizabeth George.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm the host, Melissa Cantrell. And I'm trying to get a clip up. One that's from Way to Master Radio. I thought it would be good to play because it has a former Catholic man and talking about how he became a Christian. And trying to upload that. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm host Melissa Cantrell. And find out more about me at Melissa A. That's my middle initial. And then Cantrell is CANCHOLA. And Melissa A. Cantrell. And you can see me on Facebook. And go on there a lot and play games and also talk to people. So connect with people there. So you can talk to me if you want to learn more about me there. And try to get the trip up, take you along with that. So I guess I'll play this real quick.
When Christians read, they start in the middle. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America. When I read a book, I always start at the beginning. Well, don't you? You see, when we buy a book or watch a DVD, we always start at the beginning. If not, we won't know what the book or movie is all about. If we don't understand the plot, well, the rest won't make sense. You know, there's one book that most Christians don't read by starting at the beginning. They usually start in its middle or towards the end, and it's called the Bible. Many Christians think that the Old Testament is not important today and that the book of Genesis could just be myth or allegory. But it's about time Christians started to wake up and realize that all of the New Testament is built on the Old Testament and all of the Old and New Testaments are built on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Christians need to start being consistent and read God's Word beginning with Genesis. If not, they'll never really understand many of the wonderful truths in the rest of the Word of God.
Our latest resource will equip you to defend the book of Genesis and the rest of the Bible. To receive this great 96-page pocket guide on the Bible, just make a donation of any size to our nonprofit ministry. Call our toll-free line 24 hours a day at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 24 hours a day, you can reach our nonprofit ministry at 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this great new pocket guide on our website of Answers Offer.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
A quiet time with God every day? You haven't seen my schedule. An early night for me is 11.
The truth is, I don't know anyone who isn't busy. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. One day, a friend of mine asked her sister-in-law how her devotional times were going. "What devotional times?" was her answer. She had reached out to my friend for an answer to her spiritual growth, but something was obviously missing. The assignment had been to have a devotional time every day. So my friend did a hard thing. She told the young woman when she'd had that time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer for 30 days in a row, she'd meet with her again. It's what discipline is all about, helping another to grow by showing them the guidelines and then holding them accountable. This is Elizabeth George.
It's mostly Cantor for Truth Be Told Radio. And I had decided to read from Ray Comfort's blog, as we do sometimes on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, Truth Be Told Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So I get that for you. And then I will read that. And it's that Ray Comfort Food blogspot.com. I'm trying to get that up real quick. And I've been having technical difficulties. I don't know if it's just my internet, or yeah, I think it is my internet, because I'm doing it on different web pages. So, let's see. I will read one of those. Here is a short one I'll read. It's called Good News and Bad News. And this is from Ray Comfort's blog. It's known as Atheist Central, and it's at Ray Comfort Food. blogspot.com. That's R-A-Y for Ray, and Comfort is C-O-M-F-O-R-T, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And I'm reading an entry from Friday, July 2nd, 2010, called Good News and Bad News. Good news for atheists. Australia has a prime minister, and she doesn't believe in the existence of God. Finally, an atheist can say that not all politicians need to pay lip service to God to bring in votes. That's how it's been from Hitler to Clinton to Bush to Obama. There's something particularly nauseating about hearing a political candidate mouth off a well-placed God bless you and seeing him clutch a shrink-wrapped Bible as he goes to church. But that all changed with this new PM. The bad news is that Christopher Hitchens has cancer, and it's a particularly nasty cancer of the esophagus. I've been thinking about him a lot since I heard. So if you are a Christian, you may like to remember him in prayer. And if you're atheist, perhaps you could have a moment silence for him. If anyone knows his address, I wonder if you could send it to me. Maybe we can at least let him know that we are thinking of him. And that's from July 2nd, 2010 post called Good News, Bad News. And then here's another one that's focusing on, says, trying to slow down science. I completely agree. This is someone named Albert commenting. I completely agree we will never change Ray's mind. Nevertheless, he is dangerous. Putting silly fears in weak minds and trying to slow down trying to sell even more the scientific education in USA and other parts of the world. I often have to have people step into my crowd when I am preaching as the intellectual savior of the poor unthinking masses. As far as he is concerned, they don't have the brains to know if what I am saying makes sense. He thinks that he is there to do them a favor, not really realizing how condescending he sounds. I am for progress in scientific education. I text, tweet, and blog. I have an iPod and an iPad and an iPhone. I live on the internet, have a cool and very fast laptop, and love HD and 3D TV. Our TV program uses the latest technology and graphics, and I am always excited whenever something new comes out in the field of genuine science. As I have often said before, the only science I am against is the science fiction of the brainless theory of evolution. It is pathetic and has no basis at all in science. It's merely a belief on a par with the most childish of fairy tales. That was Ray Comfort trying to slow down science comments on Thursday, July 1st, 2010, and raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. That's his blog. It's called Atheist Central. And even my sister, she says it's called theory. It's never called a law or the fact of evolution because it can't be proven because basically no one was there from the beginning. See what I'll do next. I'll read another one. I'll just take a break. You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Melissa Cantola, and we are going to take a break.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio. You're seeing Truth Be Told Radio for him and all. So, technical difficulties and something going on with my internet. That's what I think. It's not going to the web pages properly. So I'm trying to get them to read or play for you. Let's see. I will play we played this before, but I think it's good to play again. If I don't have a lot to play right now. And it's already uploaded. This is open air preaching. It's by Tony Miano, and this open air preaching is when they go outside, and then they either raise their voice or use a what do you call a bullhorn or something like this. They speak into like a microphone, big microphone. They talk to people in open air, so it's a little different. You get people sometimes, like, they call hecklers the people that go against what they're saying or just, like, interrupt. And it's a different style, and not to be mean, but, like, sometimes they have to, to get the heckler either to engage or to not to block what they're saying. And like I said, this is open air preaching, and it's sharing the gospel, and this is Tony Miano. Doesn't look like it's playing, so let's see. I could play, I will do, I'm sorry, I went on a lot of technical difficulties, so I think I could read something from a blog, though, so I will do that. Tony Miano, he works for, Living Waters, Living Waters, the actual ministry, and they're located in Bellflower, California. And they teach people evangelism and how to preach the gospel, both in open air and one-to-one witnessing and trying to use gospel tracts, things like that. Here is it's an entry called Pensamientos de Avenida Entrada. And Avenida Entrada is like the street by him, or where he goes witnessing. And it says, yesterday's time at the corner of Avenida Entrada and Lyons Avenue was short but profitable. This is entry from Friday, July 17th, 2009. So that was that year, but still good. Still probably a good story. Let's see. I was able to put gospel tracts, English and Spanish, in the hands of a couple of people. And once again, hundreds of people saw the cross and were asked the question, are you ready? Apparently, even though I've only been out there with the cross for just a few hours over the last few days, word about my activity has circulated among some of the locals. At least one community blogger who follows my evangelism activities in town is already up in arms. Some of his mischaracterizations are outright humorous. He went as far to suggest I am discriminating against the people who live on the south side of Lyons Avenue because I am standing on the north side of Lyons Avenue. Once again, those who would like to play the judgmental card rarely do so while looking in the mirror. If you choose to visit his blog post and comment, please do so in a kind and respectful way. Shortly before I headed home, I was contacted by a man who called to me by name as he approached. It turns out that this friendly man is a prominent member in his community and a commentator for a local newspaper. Having heard about my activity, he wanted to stop by and see for himself. So what's your message, he asked. Now, there's the kind of question I love to answer. We talked for about 15 minutes, and I was blessed to have an opportunity to share the gospel with him and give him a couple of gospel tracts. I think you will be hearing more about my providential meeting with this man. Time will tell. And that's from the Lawman Concourse at thelawmanconcourse.blogspot.com. It's by Tony Ryan. He's with Living Waters, the ministry, located in Buffalo, California. And they do evangelism and teach other people about how to become Christian. And like I said, you can find out more about that at thelawmanconcourse.blogspot.com. And for us, you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And let's see what I will do next. I will see. I can't really play that many files because I'm having technical difficulties. And I should upload them more before, but usually I do them closer to the showtime. Let's see. What I will do is read something. Find something to read. Just so I'll read more from the Bible. Let's see. And I will read what I should read. Oh, freedom. Oh, yeah, I forgot. As I mentioned earlier, it's Independence Day, 4th of July. So, happy one to all you out there. And remember that freedom, true freedom, comes in knowing Christ. And I still thankful for people who fight for it, like the military people. And thank you for that, all of you, and veterans, of course. And I just have to mention the veterans, actually. The people who have done in the past. And my dad is one of them. He was in the Army. So thank you for that. And thank you for all of you listening to my show. Usually we're a little more put together than this. But having a lot of technical difficulties today. And so instead, I will read. It's the best book I could read from is the Bible, and I will read from John, the book of John that's in the New Testament, and that I will read from chapter 6, verse 22. And it says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum. Seeking Jesus, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most surely I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures forever, endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him and believe in him who he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, and we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. From the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that anyone who sees the Son and believes as in him, many have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he said, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, and only one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you may know, may have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day, for my flesh is his food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is a bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And they, let's see, I'll read this. Well, I got John MacArthur's Way Bible, so I'll read, like, it's not really actually, like, he means, like, he literally, his flesh and blood, because that, you know, the Bible says stuff like that would be wrong. So Jesus refers here prophetically to his impending sacrifice upon a cross. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for evil, sinful mankind. And remember, I said earlier, no man laid down, I mean, no greater love that a man laid down his life for his friends. And that's what he was doing. And he actually was doing it for his enemies. You know, anybody who is not for Christ is the enemy of God. And so he was laying down his life for his friends and his enemies. And, and it says, once again, when they're quoting, the perplexity of the Jews indicates that they failed to understand the spiritual truth behind Jesus' illustration. Every time Jesus had given them a verified saying or physical illustration, the Jews failed to see its spiritual significance. The Mosaic law prohibited the drinking of blood or the eating of meat with blood still in it. The Jews, unable to go beyond the mere physical perspective, were perplexed and angered. And then it also says, Jesus' point was an analogy that the spiritual, other than literal significance, just as eating, drinking are necessary for physical life, so also is the belief in the Savior, in his sacrificial death on the cross, necessary for eternal life. The eating of his flesh and drinking of his body metaphorically symbolize the need for accepting Jesus' cross work. For Jews, however, a crucified Messiah was unthinkable. Once again, the Jews, in their willful and judicial blindness, could not see that the real spiritual significance and truth behind Jesus' statement. Moreover, Jesus' reference here to eating and drinking was not referring to ordinance of communion for two significant reasons. Communion had not been instituted yet. If Jesus was referring to communion, then the passage would teach that anyone partaking of communion would receive eternal life. And so it's like basically saying like that he was the very last. He's the one that they need to know, feed on spiritually, not like literally, but to know him, to truly know him, then that what brings out salvation, repentance of faith through that came from sin and trusting him alone, that we can know Christ, because he will make us a new creature and live inside us through the Holy Spirit and also lead us. So knowing Him is true freedom and the better life, like you say, but you will be able to live forever as not like on here on earth, but like in eternity, be able to go to heaven and not go to the other place that is hell. So fire, like a fire, that's a place that was made for Satan and his demons. But also, if like a place that people who don't like turn from their sin will go, because it's a just punishment for not trusting in Him when He gave us the opportunity and when He, just by dying on the cross for our sins and paying for it. But we have to receive the payment and turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus alone. And if we don't, then we go to a place that would be made for Satan, angels, demons, his demons. And if we do trust in Him, then we get to have eternal life and live with God forever. And just in the Truth Be Told Radio, your host wants to cancel us. And they're going to take a break to see if this will work. I've been having technical difficulties. Sorry about that.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Here are two scenarios. The first is, you're standing by the edge of a swimming pool on a hot summer's day. Your flesh is hot, the water's cold. It's not going to be pleasant when you first hit the water. The longer you hesitate, the harder it becomes. Your friends call out, "The water's fine, come on, you can do it, just dive in."
Now here's the second scenario. You are hesitating by the water's edge. Suddenly, you see your beloved four-year-old sink beneath the water in front of you. He's drowning. Do you still think about the cold water? No, not for a second. Every day, 150,000 people sink into the cold waters of death. Do you need to be coaxed to dive in to reach them before they pass into eternity?
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith when you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
And let's see. Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. And I'm your host, Melissa Gentile. And I got clip up that I played for the rest of the show. And I'll have to, I don't think I'll be able to come back because it goes past my time. Because when it goes past like your time, it'll still play things for about an hour, but it won't achieve access to switchboard. So I'm gonna say goodbye now. And this is a clip, a big clip. It's from almost an hour long, about 56 minutes. It's from actually Retro Radio. Retro Radio is a good show that I listen to, and it's with Todd Frio and the host. One of his hosts, but also Austin, Tony Vercherensky comments, and then he has other people that help out with the show too that also comment on things and help him out. And it's Todd Frio, he used to be a stand-up comedian, and then also he studied to be a pastor, and but he wasn't really Christian then, but then he finally became Christian, and then he started off with a show called, I think it was called Talk the Walk, but then they later changed it to Way to Master Radio to go with the Way to Master Ministry, and then they changed it to about probably about a year ago, maybe a little more, changed it to Wretched Radio because they got a show called Wretched, and it's a TV show on. I think it's Family Net's call. Well, you can find out more about all that at wretchedradio.com. And so on this, I think it might have been still called Way to Master Radio when I did this one, but either way, it's a man who used to be Catholic and he became Christian, and I like it because it kind of shows like why Catholic Catholicism is wrong and how he got convicted. And so you can learn from that. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, and our archives is on blogtalkradio.com and on iTunes. You can get us at the title Truth Be Told Radio, Truth Be Told Radio, and those are both free. It automatically gets archived after your show ends, and also on iTunes. So check us out there. And here is from, I think it's either called Way to Master Radio or Retro Radio. It's the same show, but like they put different names. Well, I think they've changed format a little bit, but almost the same. So here's Tip, Catholic being convicted, and he was became Christian, born again. Here's the Truth Be Told Radio, and here's a Catholic convicted on it was a radio show, Retro Radio, or it was called Way to Mastery by the same people, host Todd Friel.
Don't know about the future.
He said his congregation is open to all kinds of views, including the views of Senator Hillary Clinton.
What did he say?
He said, including the views of Senator Hillary Clinton.
Your religious beliefs hurt you personally and hurt us as a species because they are delusional.
I may sound like a lunatic, but I'm not crazy.
That mama's mine.
Ricky, I have a question for you. You find out you have 3 minutes left to live. What would your last words be?
To be saved is to believe, and believing is believing that he is, and embracing him as our reward.
His congregation is open to all kinds of views, including the views of Senator Hillary Clinton.
What did he say?
He said, including the views of Senator Hillary Clinton.
Your religious beliefs hurt you personally and hurt us as a species because they are delusional.
I may sound like a lunatic, but I'm not crazy.
That mama's mine.
Ricky, I have a question for you. You find out you have 3 minutes left to live. What would your last words be?
To be saved is to believe, and believing is believing that he is, and embracing him as our reward.
You can't babysit enough, you can't volunteer, you can't write out a big enough check. Only God himself can forgive you, and he did. He will, if you know how to get that forgiveness.
Welcome to Last Words Radio. Get up, get out, and share your faith. 888-995-KKLA. Welcome to Saturday night, 9 o'clock, Last Words Radio.
Weird. Sounds like you're right here in the room.
Yes, you've used that joke before.
Every week.
Every week.
Funnier every week.
Hey, welcome to our show. That's all I've got.
All right, when we get back from the break, we'll...
tonight,
what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we found this clip. Someone, a listener, sent us a clip from that show you like. You listen to that show all the time.
This American Life.
This American Life.
I love it.
It's like a PBS-type show, so I don't listen to it. I don't care for it.
You can't hardly pigeonhole it because it's about everything. And some are good, some are bad, but it's just slices of life, and there's always something interesting on there.
They cover religious topics occasionally, and this week or the week before, Bait and Switch Jesus is
right.
The title of it. And we had to edit the clip down a little bit, and I don't even know if we'll get to play the entire 10-minute clip because sometimes Drew continues to speak on and on and on. So if Drew talks too much, we don't get to the entire thing. You got to go. We'll put the clip up to our website.
Yeah.
It'll frustrate you. Remember that time we played the little boy at the atheist camp singing that atheist song?
Oh, if you are.
Yes. That was frustrating. This is even more frustrating.
Well, I thought it was brilliant. The best comments came at the end of it, so let's try to get to the end of it.
Yeah, we should.
But the best comments were by the host, who probably would agree with us.
Right.
He's rarely
do we play a clip where the atheist actually comes across as more intelligent as the quote-unquote Christian.
Well, let's get through it. We'll talk about it. And I think quite a coincidence, Uncle Jack, I'm dedicating the show to tonight.
Did you do a shout-out?
I did.
I never do shout-outs.
He's not listening. But he's actually a cool uncle at Thanksgiving, loves what I do, always kind of encourages. But he, I think, would side with the bait-and-switch approach.
Mm.
He told me this week, he goes, what you need to do is really just get people involved in the church. Don't do so much preaching, but have a bunch of ministries, like maybe basketball, and get the kids just really comfortable being there. But don't do all that preaching stuff, because that drives them away.
Well, we bait and switch, and that's what we're going to talk about. You and I, we bait and switch when we're out there sharing the gospel. So we'll have to talk about that, the different kinds of bait and switch. But let's go to commercial break now. We can roll the music, and we'll go now, and then we'll come back and we'll start.
Let's get as much time as we can
on it. But I also want to ask you a question if we have this.
During the break?
No,
I'll work
after.
On the sound in the Ustream. Go to lastwordsradio.com, click on C-S-E-E, and you can watch as it happens.
Are you looking for great Christian art for yourself or a gift? Check out the Art of Billy store on the Last Word Radio website. Affordable, limited edition Christian art with free worldwide shipping. Each print you buy helps support Last Word Radio, and you can download a gospel track to each print that you can give to the framer or recipient.
Beautiful precision work brought Norman Rockwell to my mind. Wonderful realism. Inspired.
Or a few comments about Billy's art, visit lastwordsradio.com. And click on The Art of Billy.
Welcome back.
888-995-KKLA, in case you want to give us a call. Although I hope we're going to get some calls tonight. We might. Bobby is going to get us a fish tonight,
and that'll be in
a little while. Let me ask you a question, Drew, real quick, and keep your story short. But can you think of a story right off the top of your head where you knew you needed to approach someone and share the gospel with them or have a conversation with someone about the gospel and spiritual things, but you just chickened out and just didn't do it?
Oh, all the time.
Really? Can you think of one specific one where you went, and why? Why specifically did you chicken out with this person?
I can think of someone specific that was on a show on MTV in the 80s when I grew up, and was at a party a month ago, 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
Friend of a friend, one of the good friends of my wife, he was there, and years later, looks a lot older now. It was not appropriate, maybe, at the party. And I've already shared the gospel with my wife's friend, and she already thinks I'm crazy. And so now
I'm going
to talk to this guy.
Well, that's not an appropriate time, but a time where you just chicken out, you got scared.
No, what I'm saying, like, we were in a conversation, this guy and I. And guess what? A week ago, he passed away. Semi-famous guy. Like, if I told you what show he was on and you IMDb'd him, you go, oh, really, that guy? And I was at a party with him, and it was just too, oh, well, he's a star. He's on TV, so I couldn't embarrass myself by actually sharing the gospel with him because he might not like me or he might think I'm...
This illustration's not going to be funny at all.
Oh, really?
now that he died. Wow. Okay. Well, I did.
Well, it was short. You said give it short.
Well, I didn't mean that. You didn't.
All right.
Oh, that's
well,
terrible. That's
thanks for setting me up before.
Wow. I did that.
No, but...
And I felt guilty about it. But you know what I did is I called Kelly and Chris and had them come down and share it with my roommate for a few days. And I had them come. I just took it out. I said, bring some tracks, and you go in there and share the gospel. And they went over, and they started sharing with him. And he said, I won't read that stuff. And they were like, oh. So not only did I make them do it, and I chickened out, but he rejected them flat out, too.
Wow.
And I thought it was going to go that way.
They said, hey, Greg's too scared, so here, we wanted to hand you this.
Pretty much, and so they left the track there, which we always encourage people to do. If you're in a public place and they reject the track, if there's a place to set it down,
mm-hmm.
that way you're saying that, well, I'm going to leave it here anyway, and someone else will get it.
Yeah.
And then you don't also have that dejected look on your face. You're going,
take it back.
Oh, take it
back. Well, I've seen people, too, the $1 million bills, especially something that looks attractive to pick up. Mm-hmm. If someone takes it from you and throws it on the ground,
leave it
there.
Yeah.
Someone else will grab it. And I've heard stories of people who are Christian who got saved by one of the first steps in their being saved was them picking up a tract off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just thought it
was... Did my story not...
No, that was a good one.
Okay.
Did it blow your... Well, when you said he died, it took a real serious... I mean, I wanted it to be a serious... People.
That's
I wanted
the only
it to be a serious
I
illustration that people can realize that, you know what, we all chicken out sometimes. you can't kick yourself. You got to keep going. And I didn't know your story would end. Yeah, and he died.
When you said that, it was just on my heart recently because it was about a week ago, and it's just so weird that how stupid was I? Like, where is he now? If you're a Christian and you believe the gospel, I was embarrassed. What's the worst he could have done? Say, I'm not reading that stuff and throw it down?
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I feel worse than I did before.
What is the right approach? And I think that's, if we're going to sum up this show, the right approach is we believe that the gospel is what has the power to save, not our ability, not our humor, not our skills, not our basketball.
Which is what this guest on this clip seems to think
right.
is that it is our ability, it is in our skill and in our ability, so we must do whatever we can to make it palatable.
Well, I think as Christians, we all have, as everybody, we kind of have an aversion to the whole sales technique, seeing somebody as just a number, as just a conquest, as, there's another guy I can save, and doing everything you can surreptitiously to just sell him.
Right.
Not because you care about that person, but because you're trying to up your numbers or do whatever. And I think we might even agree with him in that.
We start out
from the same place. And so then he goes, well, here's my solution. And I'm like, whoa, he went exactly the opposite way. And listen to what the host says, too.
So we're going to play in two segments. We're going to play the first, and then we'll talk about it. Then we'll play the second, and we'll talk about
it. Okay,
you ahead.
Give me the signal, because I don't see two segments here. There it is.
There was a flyer taped to the wall by the water fountain in the English department at Penn State this week. It says, raw, and then underneath it in bigger letters it says, sex. Then underneath that, everything you need to know. And under that, a website, rawsexpsu.org. And then under that, an address and time for a meeting of some sort. And then under that, at the very bottom, in teeny-weeny little type, you have to look very closely, it says, hosted by Orthodox Christian Fellowship, a ministry of Holy Trinity Orthodox Church. This flyer, yes, is a not very disguised bait and switch for Jesus. Which brings us to the next act of our show, Act 2. Raw sex, in which there will be no sex, but there will be a bunch of Jesus. One of our contributors, Dave Dickerson, was raised as an evangelical, and he says baiting and switching was just taken as a given. After all, being an evangelical comes with a huge responsibility to bring non-believers to God.
You have to. Jesus actually says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, and at the same time we're also told, and they're going to hate you, just like they hated me, and so you have this kind of biblical imperative to, spread the word to people who don't want to hear it. And Paul at one point says, be as innocent as doves and as wise as serpents. And so, a little bit of trickery to sort of like help the medicine go down seems like a reasonable thing to do.
So what would you do?
Well, when I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, who was famous for doing a lot of these things, one time we went out to California. I was, originally in Tucson. And we went up to people on the beach and said, hey, we're going to have, like, this luau party tonight. Come. We had, like, flyers to hand out, and it said, there's going to be music and food and drinks. It said drinks. It didn't say, like, non-alcoholic drinks. It just said drinks. It was almost shameless because, of course, the women who would go out, this was, spring break, they were in bikinis. They were very attractive. And so we could see, they would go up to guys, and of course the guys would take the flyer, and they were going to go to this luau. And there was no real tip-off. It didn't say, Campus Crusades for Christ at the bottom or anything like that.
Right.
And, when we actually had the actual, presentation,
Wait, the presentation, you mean the luau?
Yes, the luau, of course, was a kind of a skit show. You had the Diet Coke and whatever. And the pretzels, but the entertainment was, they would like lip sync to Journey. There was like an air guitar contest. It was silly stuff that was wholesome and not at all like the wet T-shirt contest stuff they were maybe expecting.
Right.
And then every two or three episodes, someone would come out and say, I just want to point out that Jesus Christ has made a huge difference in my life, and if you have any questions about that. You can talk to some people over here, and we've got literature, blah, 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 and now, back to your program.
All right. Is that a spot?
That's a spot. That's number one. First of all, for those of you that I absolutely agree, we shouldn't be baiting and switching at all. We do bait and switch all the time when we stand on a box and we give away gift cards and we give away money to get to draw a crowd. Isn't that a bait and switch?
Yeah, you're. It definitely is, and I think where we're going to go farther with this is we ultimately get to the point where this is just bait and bait.
Well,
no,
yeah, his is bait and bait, right.
So what we're trying to do is, on the street, get the bait out to get somebody to at least take a track. That's why we make a track that's attractive looking.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to look at it,
yep.
Get them the bait, and they read it, and then they get the switch. They get the message that we're trying to get out there, and that's ultimately what we're trying to do. How is that different than what you think?
Well, first of all, people are not stupid. No one looks at a flyer, like this guy said about that flyer, and this says, come for free food and drinks and not wonder if there's a catch. Especially in the small letters instead of the church. They knew that there was going to be some sort of presentation. When you go to when you go stay at a condo or take a cruise and they say, come to this meeting and we'll give you $50 to spend,
right.
Every single person that
you know
goes to those things knows that they're going to offer you some sort of a deal where you just spend more. How many people really go through those things and say, gee, I thought they were just going to say thanks
that's
for coming
crazy.
On this cruise.
Oh, that's terrible.
And here's your $50. Yeah. That's ridiculous. No one is stupid.
I get stuff from companies for licensing requirements that'll say free chicken dinner if you come. But basically what they're doing is you're getting your credits, and they want you to buy their class.
We're not dumb. We know exactly there's always some. And when people see us on that box of giving away money, every single person on that crowd is thinking,
they know
what
something.
Do they want?
Well, even the guy that does the robot. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's not going to preach to you, but he wants your dollar.
He wants your money.
He's obviously there for something. So
I've never seen a look of surprise when we start talking about spiritual things once we stop handing out the money. And I don't see people confused, like, what's he doing? I thought he was just here to give out money. You know, people can walk away, too, whenever they want. That's another reason. That's another thing. We don't sit there and go, hey, buddy, who are you walking away? I just gave you $2. You need to stay and listen to.
Right.
This is a free country. If they want to leave, they are free and entitled
right.
to. We're just drawing the crowd. In fact, people do. What happens when we start talking about spiritual things once the money, half
instantly.
The crowd leaves?
Instantly.
Instantly. And then we don't bug people about that. You know, in fact, a lot of times they look with disgust as soon as we start talking about spiritual things.
Right.
And that's they don't have to be there.
Yeah, as we're saying this more, I think the problem isn't so much that it's the switch. It's the problem that some churches never get to the switch.
It is a problem, though, in this case, where you're offering women and booze.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
Yeah, we are doing trivia for how many birds on an Australian... You know, it has nothing to do with, if you listen to us, guess what? We got passes for the club down
yeah.
the street.
Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to entice people to sin, with opportunities to sin, in this case, like booze and women, in order to share the gospel.
Right.
And he totally ripped that verse out of context about... from Matthew 10:16, where he said, be as gentle as doves and as wise as serpents. Totally
right.
ripped that out of context.
So you're saying that the first part of what they're doing there is okay or not okay?
I don't think they should offer drinks and
yeah.
women. But to say, hey, we're having a barbecue. If you want to make up flyers, we're having a barbecue. Come
yeah.
on over. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Come to the barbecue. You know, and then give out free food, and then stand up and say, "Hey, this is what we're about." And go through the law and the gospel, and
there you go.
Testimony time. You know, I certainly don't. I wouldn't waste my time by standing up and saying, "I invited Jesus in my life. If you have any questions, come talk to me."
Right,
in
and
the
that's
end.
A separate issue. The fact
that's a whole nother.
When they finally did switch it, did they actually give the gospel, or did they just do more?
Yeah,
you know, prosperity teaching.
Yeah,
if you come to our barbecues, then Jesus will.
So anyway, so before we throw out the baby with the bathwater, I don't think there's anything wrong with...
Because obviously, to some extent, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We are trying to make friends with people within a minute. We are trying to get the gospel into their hands and share it with them.
Right. And again,
and quickly,
we're not
I'd rather
forcing
get
them.
In
we're
their
not
hands
slamming
now.
The doors and locking them in. If they can leave at any time.
But do you think our point is that I'd rather get the gospel now? I baited you for a second just to get your attention and
yeah.
to make a conversation.
Yeah.
But the idea is, here's the gospel, and then it's up to you. Not come to my church for 10 years, I'm never going to give it to you, and hopefully one day, it's I'd rather get it into your hands right away, and then you get to make a decision.
Yeah, well, and he would, to back up this guy, he was saying that it was not appropriate. He had a bad feeling about
yeah.
this. He knew that it was inappropriate. He was like, this is not right.
Little overzealous. And to
yeah.
be fair, I've seen people when we go out en masse, with hundreds of people doing evangelism, some people that are less experienced, overly excited, might do something that you're like, oh, you know, in hindsight, that probably
right.
wasn't the best approach.
Welcome
and,
to
and
my life.
Yeah, so maybe their zeal got the best of them.
Yeah.
And at least they were trying something, but looking back at it as a mature Christian, you might say, you know, let's not use that, the booze and the women
yeah.
card. Let's just go for the barbecue.
Let's not give people opportunities to sin. Okay, let's play the second clip. It's about 8 minutes. And
seven left. We did
okay.
three. There's seven to go.
All right, we'll play the whole thing, and then by the time it's finished, Bobby will probably have a fish, go to the fish, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about this. So,
Okay,
go ahead.
One of the evangelicals who's trying to change some of the old tactics is a guy named Jim Henderson, and he's tried all kinds of things to reach non-believers. When a guy named Hemant Mehta offered his own soul for sale on eBay to the highest bidder, it was Jim Henderson who won the auction with a $504 bid, which is, you know, cheap for a soul. And what he did with that money was he simply asked Mehta to attend a few churches with him and tell him what was persuasive and what put him off. This project led to a book. Henderson has another book called Evangelism Without Additives. He says, in his decades as a pastor trying to convert people, he noticed that sinners like Jesus, but they don't like Jesus' people, which led Henderson to completely rethink how he was approaching non-believers.
It was not an epiphany. It dawned on me slowly that I was tired of feeling bad. I was tired of thinking about you as a project instead of you as a person. And so I didn't like that. And then I also noticed that in spite of all the preaching I did about this to get other people to do it, they just wouldn't do it. I mean, they just ordinary Christians vote with their feet, and they just do not participate in these programs.
In the programs to evangelize, you mean? They wouldn't evangelize.
Yeah. I mean, you can push them for a few days, like a diet or something like that, and then it's like, are we done with this now? Can we go back to our normal life of thinking about ourselves?
So usually it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the same reasons it doesn't work for normal humans. We don't like being pitched. We don't like being treated that way. I don't like being invited to a party to kibitz and chat and then find out you have a pitch you want to give me.
Yeah.
You know, we can smell a cell coming. And by the way, most of the ways you observe evangelism being done as it's being marketed are ineffective. The large rallies, all that stuff. The statistics are just abysmal about the number of converts that actually stick that does not result in what the church wants. The church wants disciples. The church wants, Jesus actually didn't say go out and make converts. He said go make disciples, which is a completely different project. So there's no, the founder of our movement, you know, Jesus, did not model this behavior. He never had to, you know, lower himself to a bait and switch. And so this has been an adoption of sort of American consumerism that we've adopted as a church. And it's really largely based on sales, the way of getting people to join. I mean, quite frankly, I want people to follow Jesus. I believe Jesus is God and all that stuff, you know, but I'm completely done with, you know, the whole evangelism as a sales model deal. I'm done with it.
So walk me through what it is that you're advocating. You have this thing called doable evangelism, evangelism
right.
that actually people, normal people can do without feeling weird about it.
Right.
Okay, so give me the steps of it. Like, what do I do if I want to do it?
Doable evangelism does not concern itself with converting people. It's not about sales. It's about connecting. So the paradigm is about connecting with people. The way we connect, there's three what we call spiritual practices for connecting with people. Number one, notice people. You know, practice the art of noticing. Sit and watch. Sit in the mall and watch people go by and ask yourself, I wonder what's going on with that person. Just reflect. The second one is pray for people behind their backs. You know, Christians like to pray for people, and we believe prayer matters. So pray for them behind their backs, unauthorized prayers. You don't need their permission. You can pray. But pray for these people. It's fine. You know, it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt you. Maybe something good will happen. Who knows? The third thing is, is to go to them and go to someone and actually listen. And the way you listen, you say something like, how are you? You know, and then you listen. And the person will be amazed when you don't interrupt them with your own story of how you are not doing yourself. So
you would send people out. You say, I want you to listen to people. I want you to notice people. And then does this work in bringing people to Jesus, or is that just like the first step?
So that's a question, of course, Christians ask us. They want to know about numbers and results. And
well,
I feel
like that's a fair question, because you're saying, like, well, this is a kind of doable evangelism. Okay, right, I can go out, I can listen to people, that part I can do. So, where's the part where they come to Jesus?
You have to keep in mind, our goal is not to get converts. Our goal is to get Christians out connecting with non-Christians. Our goal is to get Christians learning how not to be jerks. Our goal is to help Christians learn to be normal. And what happens over a period of time is they start befriending people, and they get in people's social circles. And yes, naturally, just like if you were interested in something and I knew you from some length of time, the likelihood of me going to the school that you're recommending, buying the car you recommended, increases because we're in proximity to each other. The way it happens is through relationships. That's how human beings actually change, when you and I like each other. Like, my saying is, when people like each other, the rules change.
Is it possible that your tactic just leads to nothing? Like I think about my own circle of friends, and for whatever reasons now, I have a bunch of friends. My wife and I have a bunch of friends who are very devout religious people, and mm-hmm. we hang out with them, and, you know, we share our lives with them, but they are no influence at all in pulling us towards Christianity, away from our staunch atheism, and vice versa.
That would be what my ideological enemies within evangelicalism would accuse me of, that this will lead to nothing. And so the alternative is for me then to imagine your social circle. What are your alternatives then? To begin to intentionally try and persuade each other. You know, I have this one chance to try and get Ira Glass saved, so here I go, you know. And then what happens as a result of that, typically, is that that's the end of our relationship, and we go our separate ways. And so now I have zero influence in your life, and I'm not going to be able to be influenced by you as well.
When you describe it, and I'm not saying this to be critical, I'm just observing, what you're replacing bait and switch with is it's all bait. And then there's no switch at all. Honestly, you're just assuming that at some point, like, something will happen, and maybe it'll be good, and hopefully it'll be good, right? Because the bait was pretty good, and so let's just go with that.
Yeah, I could. That doesn't offend me in the least. I kind of like that all bait, no switch. I might use that. I admit I could be wrong. Maybe I'm living in a delusion, or whatever. But this is one that I prefer over the alternatives, and I'm happy with that. Our goal is to get Christians engaged in the process. We're not concerned about results. The average amount of time it takes to be a Christian is about, before you actually make a decision, is about 4 years. So I'm much more concerned about the starting line of faith. Why don't we try and get them across the starting line instead of the finish line?
There's a lot to say about that. That was
Let me just say this first, and I'll let you talk. It's not called doable evangelism. It's not evangelism. What he's doing is not evangelism
at
all.
It's funny that the host figured that out. He's like, and then what? Does that actually do anything?
They need to stop labeling it as Christian evangelism or even evangelism.
I thought one of the most interesting points was that he had been fed up with the approach, felt bad about it, and then he decided to ask an atheist, what do you like? Yeah. You know, the guy said, hey, he brought this atheist to the church, and he said, what really persuaded you? What are the good parts that you like? And when the atheist said, well, I don't like Christians, I like Christ, but I don't like Christians.
Yeah, that's a very typical response.
I got a great approach then. So we've tailored our evangelism to suit the atheist, not to suit God. Yeah. I think there's a big problem right there.
Well, whenever who was the guy that did the survey, went out to the neighborhood and did the survey?
Bill Hybels.
Bill Hybels. And what do you not like about the church?
One of the
they
largest
went to non-Christians
churches.
To ask them what the problem is with the church.
We're going
to
build a church in your neighborhood. We'd like you to come. What would you
what
like
you
to see in our church? Oh, we want music. We want entertainment. We want, do you have basketball? We want coffee?
They needed to build a YMCA next to a concert hall then, in that case.
And they're full.
Church.
They're full. They've got 50,000 people going to this church because if you give people what they want, and we don't like that preaching stuff, the judgmental.
We don't want to do any of that.
Don't start talking about what God demands and the law and sin, because that really makes us upset. Okay, we won't do that. So they pulled out, and it gets to the point where it's bait. And bait, there's no switch. They never get to the offensive part.
And he was totally stumped. He stumped them at the end because he said, maybe I'm wrong. That way we should have cut the clip right there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. This is the way I do it. I'm wrong, but maybe that's still, I'd like to do it that way even though I'm wrong.
I'm going to get through these points real quick before we go to the phone because I want to complain about what we didn't like about this. And then the whole point of going to the phone is to show how in 30 seconds I can build a relationship with somebody, share the gospel with them, and not chase them off.
Okay.
Hopefully, if I don't put my foot in my mouth. I thought it was interesting that he said Christians don't evangelize. You know, when we tried to go out and evangelize, he couldn't get the people in his church to go.
Yeah.
And I put Christians in quotes in my notes because if people don't care enough about the lost to share the gospel with them, I would be hard pressed. To
that's
call
why I wrote
Christian.
"doable evangelism" in quotes. It's not evangelism.
He also noted that the rallies are ineffective, and the big harvests are 50,000 people at a stadium. Come on down. We're going to have an altar call. And a lot of people walk down there, they sign the card,
yep.
But then a year later they're not to be found.
He was frustrated with the statistics about the false converts. I agree.
And I think he went the opposite way. Instead of realizing that the real problem wasn't that you weren't nice enough,
yeah,
or that you didn't have good enough music, the real problem was that you never gave them the gospel.
Right.
That's why they didn't stick. And so he overcorrected or corrected the wrong way by saying, listen, we're going to remove all church things. All I'm going to do is be a nice person. I'm going to listen to people. I'm going to ask them how they are. In fact, he says, I'm not even concerned with conversions. My whole goal, he said, is not to convert people. It's to make a connection and not be a jerk.
Some of you might say, well, this just is another example of friendship evangelism. Actually, it's just friendship. That's all he's doing. He's being friends with people. A nice thing to do.
I know a lot of atheists are great friends.
Yeah. But
I had a great Thanksgiving dinner with half my family. Great friends.
Yep.
Great conversations everywhere. No one slipped the gospel in,
yep,
and they were all nice. And a lot of people who aren't Christian can be just as friendly.
But he had those 3 points. You need to really look at people and observe them. You need to pray for them. Then you need to go and listen. I agree with all those things.
Then
those
what?
Three things. That you have a fourth part.
Yeah.
Then you, after you listen, he's just getting out of doing the hard stuff.
Right.
I would venture to say this guy's afraid, too.
I think ultimately the point is that his approach and most people in the church, Catholic, Christian, otherwise, most people in the church have a very man-centered view of the gospel. That if I am a jerk, if I do too much preaching, or if I'm not nice enough, I could blow it. And God's not able to save that person because of something I did. But if I'm nice enough, if I really work on this, then I'm going to be able to convince that person to get saved.
He tipped his hat at the beginning. The first things out of his mouth was, I was tired. I was feeling bad. That showed me, as soon as I listened to that for the first time, as soon as he opened up, I knew it was going to be all about his methods, his frustrations, his attempts. And where's God's sovereignty in all this?
Yeah, it's either God has the ability to save people and we trust that he can do it in spite of us, or we believe that somehow we've got the ability to do it. And I think when you focus so much on the friendship compared to the evangelism, when your church focuses so much on the programs as opposed to the preaching, you're more concerned with the relationship. On a one-to-one basis, I'm more afraid of losing you as a friend. And that's what he said. Listen, I might blow my chance. I might never have you as a friend. And as a church, we can be more concerned about losing membership. We can lose paying customers that come into our doors.
And I don't think he cares that much about it because he wasn't a pastor of a church. So
I'm just comparing the two.
Okay.
He, on a one-to-one level, says, I don't want to lose the personal relationship, so I won't talk about Jesus. And the churches can do the same thing on a larger scale. We don't want to lose customers, so we won't talk about Jesus.
What a great opportunity if you'd have been on our show, if you'd have shared that story that you shared at the beginning of the hour when you said, when I chickened out, I didn't share him, I was just his friend. He died last week. Where did he
Christian,
go? What happened?
If you're listening, whoever's listening, if you're a Christian and you believe that if someone is not saved, where do they go? They go to hell if they don't have their sins forgiven by Jesus. And so, how friendly can you be with somebody? How concerned about being a nice guy can you be when you realize if they died without knowing Jesus, they're going to hell?
But you can also be very, very friendly and loving and kind.
Let's try it.
While you are speaking to that person, it's not... Oh, never mind. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Here's what we do. Here's an example of what we do on the street. Tonight, Bobby is on the phone. Let me grab him. Bobby, you there?
Bobby?
Yep.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Beef?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good.
I was concerned to put this certain fish on the phone because she's from Downey High School, which is the rivalry of my old high school, Warren High School.
I was like, what?
But she was the only one willing to do it, so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Where are you tonight?
I'm at Downey Landing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, even though it's a little cool outside, there was a few people scattered in these. She has her friend Excel right next to her. This is Rosa. She's 16. She's a junior in high school, and she has her friend next to her for support because she was a little nervous doing it on the phone.
Well, she's going to be talking to Drew, okay?
Okay, talking to
Drew. All right.
Okay, I'm going to hand the phone over. Here you go. You're talking to Drew.
Hello?
Hi, Rosa?
Yes.
Hey, how are you? My name is Drew. Appreciate you coming on the phone here.
You're welcome.
We're talking a little bit tonight on the show about baiting and switching. What did Bobby bait you with tonight to get you on the phone so I can switch it for you? Did he tell you anything about the show?
No, he hasn't told me.
He didn't tell you what it's about?
He told me it's about, like, Christians.
Okay.
And, like,
yeah, we're on KKLA. We do a Christian radio show. And one of the things we talk about is kind of what Bobby did, is walking up to people and even though he doesn't know you and I don't know you, sharing the gospel with you. Have you ever had someone just walk up to you out of the blue and start talking about spiritual things or maybe ask you about God?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I guess I'm a little bit more than double your age, and it's I can't count on one hand how many times someone has ever come up to me and actually tried to share the gospel with me. So I'm pretty impressed if at 16 someone has done that. Do you go to a church right now, Rosa?
Yeah. I go to a Christian church.
Okay. So would you consider yourself to be a Christian?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. Let's turn the tables. If I were gonna come up to you, and maybe let's play that you're the Christian and I don't know anything about Jesus or about Christianity, and you seem like a nice person, what would you tell me? Why would I need to know about Jesus, or do I?
Because when the day is, like, the last world, when it ends and stuff,
uh-huh.
like when the world ends, you're going to want to know where you're going, you know?
Okay. And so is that kind of the heaven and hell choice?
Yeah.
Is that the two choices?
Yeah, those are the two choices.
Okay. Now, Rosa, I don't know where I'm going for purposes of this. I'm playing the person that doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven clearly sounds like the better choice. How would I get there, Rosa? Can you help me?
Well, you're going to want to be in a spiritual place with God. Like, even if you don't go to church, at least have that spiritual belief in Him, pray for Him, like, morning and night.
So
and
I need to believe in God? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you need to believe in Him, have faith.
So just believe that He exists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it? So
I mean,
it's kind of obvious that there's God somewhere, right? If I look around, I can see that somebody made this. So is that enough just to kind of understand that maybe there's a higher power than me?
No, I mean, everybody says, like, there's scientific knowledge for stuff like that, and there's also the spiritual way, you know?
So how would I get the spiritual belief in God?
By just talking to Him. Like, even if you think that no one's listening, like, He is listening to you.
And am I supposed to say anything special, or do I need to be a good person? Or what if I talk to God every day, but He tells me to go out and hurt people and harm little children and steal stuff, cheat on my taxes? Is that okay?
No.
Why not? Now you're adding things that I'm supposed to do, or I thought I just need to believe in Him.
Because you also have to, like, you can't break the laws. You have to follow the commandments of what He says.
Oh, okay. Now you're adding some stuff here. I think I'm a pretty good person, though. I mean, I haven't killed anybody that I know of. So God's going to pretty much forgive me, right, and for all the little stuff?
I mean, God, He's a forgiver, you know? He forgives you for all your sins, like, if you pray to Him.
So God's just going to forgive me for all my sins if I say, you know what, God, I'm really sorry. I'm sure I did something once. I can't remember. It must not have been that bad. I think maybe I told my wife that her hair looked good that day when it really didn't. But He'll forgive me for that, and I'm good to go into heaven?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like a really neat God. The trouble is, Rosa, that's very different from the God that's described in the Bible. And most people, like you've said, have got some general idea about God like that. And that sounds pretty good because somewhere, I'm sure, in the Bible, somewhere it says God is love, and we all hear that. And so God's, of course, just going to forgive us. But let me ask you a question here, Rosa. Let me take you to a hypothetical example. Hopefully at 16 you haven't. You ever been to a courtroom?
No.
Okay. You watched it on TV, though, right? You know, the judge sits up there, and then there's an attorney and the person that's accused of the crime. Let's say that someone got in trouble for doing something terrible. There's so much in the news lately about, like, the girl who got kidnapped, and for 18 years she stayed kidnapped, and horrible, horrible things were done, and they caught the gentleman who did it. I say gentleman loosely, but they caught the person who did that. Now, if he's standing in this court, do you think that the judge is just going to let him go because he's so nice? What would you think of that judge if he said, you know what, I'm a pretty nice guy, and I love you, so I know you kidnapped that girl and took her life away from her and destroyed her parents' life, but I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to let you go. What do you think about that, Judge?
It wouldn't be up to him to, like, actually judge. Like, he can make an opinion, but at the end, like, when the if he's not really, like, forgiven, if he doesn't, like, pray for his sins, then he's not going to have salvation.
But I'm talking about just in the courtroom now. If someone was accused of a crime and all the evidence was in and they were guilty for doing something very serious, and the judge in this life, in a real courtroom, does have the right to judge. That's his job. And he decides if you're guilty or innocent and puts the sentence on you. If this judge just turned a blind eye to that criminal who we know is guilty and just let him go, what do you think that family would think about that judge? What would you think if a judge just let a murderer go away free?
They would probably hate him.
Yeah, that's corrupt, right? A judge who turns a blind eye to the mafia who gets caught and just says, oh, it takes a little bit of a bribe and says, well, you washed my car. Okay, here, you can go.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good judge. And the Bible describes God who is a good judge. He's perfect. He's perfectly angry and filled with wrath at those crimes, but he's also filled with mercy. And the trouble is, Rosa, a lot of times we can look at that murderer and say, oh, he's bad. Oh, Hitler? Oh, yeah, definitely. That guy's bad. But me, maybe I'm not as good as Oprah or not as good as something, but I'm okay. I've only done a couple of little things. Trouble is, Rosa, the Bible makes it very clear that none of us have been good enough. We're just as bad as that criminal. In fact, you know, the Bible says that if you've lied even once, that the penalty is eternity in the lake of fire. I mean, at 16 years old, how many times do you think you've lied in your whole life?
A lot.
Uncountable, right? I mean, you lose count of it. And the seriousness of that crime, even though it's just so silly and trivial that you're lying, is actually that the crime is done against God, who is perfect and is infinite. And so that's what makes it so unreachable, that the justice that we owe for those crimes. If we look at the Ten Commandments that you mentioned, Rosa, have you always honored your parents? Have you never used God's name in vain? Have you always taken one day out of the week and put it aside for the Lord? Have you always put him first? Have you not? You know, here's one that I bet you didn't even think you broke. The number two commandment says, don't make any gods to suit your own image. Don't make any idols. And when we come up with a God who's just going to forgive people for no matter what, that's a God in our own image. That's a God that we like because it suits our sin. That's not the real God of the Bible. That's not the historic Christian God that revealed himself on the earth 2,000 years ago. Rosa, I've more than doubled you in terms of breaking God's law, but in your short 16 years on this planet, if you were to stand before God today and he was going to judge you by those Ten Commandments, knowing that you've broken them countless times, is he going to find you innocent or guilty?
I'm guilty.
Right, me too, Rosa, and that's a pretty sobering thought. Do you think that this holy, just, perfect God, who's not corrupt, who won't be bribed, who won't be, you know, pushed aside, and has to punish sin, do you think he has to send you to heaven or to hell?
To hell.
Now, you're answering quickly, but does that make sense the way I laid it out for you? That if we're guilty of breaking God's law, and he is perfect, he's not corrupt, he's got to punish that sin. He promises that he will. Does it concern you, Rosa, that if you die tonight, and that's not my wish for you, but there's going to come a day when both of us are going to stand before him, even if it's in 100 years from now. Does it concern you, Rosa, that if God gave you justice, he would have to send you to hell?
Yeah. Big concern.
Good, Rosa. It should. It concerns me, and that's the reason that 10 minutes into our conversation here, Rosa, I care enough about you to broach this difficult subject, because I think it's so important to at least think about. And I appreciate you staying on here with me. You mentioned something about God forgiving, and everybody knows that part of the Bible. Why would God forgive you, Rosa? Why would God let you go for breaking his law when you deserve hell?
I don't know, because he died for us once on the cross,
That's the part I didn't hear yet, Rosa. That's the gospel, Rosa. That's the most important part. God is perfectly just and holy and righteous. And if he wiped us all off the face of the earth and sent us all to hell, he would be perfectly justified in that because we deserve it, Rosa. But guess what? He's also merciful and loving. And he's also provided a way, knowing that there's nothing we could do. Rosa, if you stopped lying today, for the rest of your life, for the next 80 years, you never told one more lie, if that was even possible to do, you would still be guilty for countless crimes. And you could never be forgiven for those. They wouldn't just go away. But God made a way for you to be forgiven. Picture this. We're in the courtroom again, guilty for crimes. You're going to go away for life in prison because the evidence is in. There's no question about it. You're guilty, Rosa. Now, someone you don't know walks into the courtroom, goes up to the judge, and hands the judge the amount of the fine. If it said, listen, it's $1 million or you're going to jail for life, and you don't have the money. And this person walks into the courtroom and says, Rosa, I sold everything I have. I gave up everything of mine to give it to here, and I'm paying the fine for you. Now, the judge says, listen, Rosa, you're still guilty, but justice has been satisfied. You can go free, not because you're innocent, but because your fine has been paid. What do you think of that person now, Rosa?
He shouldn't be bribed. Like, they shouldn't have been bribed.
Well, it's not a bribe. It's a fine. If you have a traffic ticket and there's a specific fine, you can either pay the fine or serve your time if you can't afford to pay it. And if that's legitimately the fine, and this time, that person is Jesus Christ, Rosa. The fine wasn't $1 million. It wasn't washing the judge's car. It wasn't being a good person. The fine was death. Because sin leads, the penalty for sin is death. Jesus Christ came down to earth, fully God and fully man, lived a life that you and I could not lead, did not deserve the cross, but went to it willingly, like the lamb, the Passover lamb, shed his own blood for you and for me, Rosa, and for anybody that would do two things, and this is the most important part, Rosa. He died for those that would repent and believe. You talked about belief in God, but here's the difference, Rosa. The devil believes in God. The devil knows he exists, but he's not going to see one day in heaven. Rosa, what's important is Jesus died for those who would turn from their sins and put their trust completely in the Passover lamb, completely in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have you heard that in your church?
Yeah, but in my church, they say that we're forgiven for our sins, like right away, as soon as you pray for it.
Okay. What you got to do, Rosa, is don't take my word for it. Don't take the person in the pulpit's word for it. Open up God's word and see what it says. This isn't something that we can get wrong we can't afford to make a mistake on this, Rosa. God is quick to forgive, but he forgives those who repent. That was the first preaching of John the Baptist. That was the first preaching of Jesus Christ. He said, turn from your sins. But you know the thing about it is, we can't even do that without his help. We can't even believe in God without his help. Rosa, the Bible says that we loved him because he loved us first, and that's called being born again. If you're born again, that means that God is drawing you to him, giving you the ability to turn from your sins. So when we stop sinning, when we try to live for God, that's not so we can earn our way into heaven. That's so we can display what God has already done. We try to do right not because we're trying to bribe the judge, but because he's already forgiven us and we love him so much. You know, I don't do nice to my parents because I'm trying to become their child. I do nice to my parents because I am their child. And I love them. And that's what God wants of us. He commands everybody, Rosa, to turn from their sin. Do you know people in your church that say they're forgiven but maybe are living a life of obvious sin?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? Someone who all day long says they're a Christian, they got the big cross on their neck, they got the sticker on their car, but they're cheating on their wife?
Yeah.
Openly? I mean, do you think God's going to be fooled by that?
No.
Yeah, God is not going to be fooled. He sees everything, Rosa. So important that he says that every secret sin, even the things we're just thinking about, Rosa, if the stuff that you had thought about today, not even acted out on, just the places in your heart that you thought of, were put in a movie and placed up on the movie screen for Estella, your friend there, and all your friends and family to see, do you think that would be something fun for your family to see, all the parts that you thought of?
No.
I know there's things that I've thought of even today that would sicken me to have my family see that. And guess what, Rosa? God has already seen those. The great thing is, Rosa, that he loves us enough even though we've sinned like that. He loved us enough to send his son, and he asked that, show your belief in him. He does say, if you believe, you will be saved. But that belief isn't just, like you said, a scientific assent. It's a spiritual belief. It's a knowledge of him. It's knowing him. And he says, if you're his sheep, you'll obey him. So I encourage you, Rosa. 16 years, you got a great start on life, and I hope it goes a lot longer. But if I've given you something to think about, do you have your own Bible?
No.
You know what? I bet Bobby's got one there for you. We can make sure you get one or grab one from your church. Open up and read the book of John. See what Jesus himself said. And more than just 1 hour a week, you know, if I wrote my wife 66 love letters and I came back and saw her 10 years later because I was you know, shipped off to war and I wrote her all these letters. And I said, hey, did you open up my letters? She goes, no. I just, you know, I didn't have time. Would I think that she really loved me?
No.
And that's what God's done, Rosa. He's written his love letters to you, 66 books of the Bible that are there for you, that are free. And we'll make sure you get in your hands. And he's given you the way to know him, not only to believe in him, but giving you the ability to turn from your sins, put your trust in Christ, and that way you can be born again. You know, I encourage you to at least think about this, Rosa. Is it any? I've got about a minute left here, but any thoughts, or you disagree, agree, or tell me what you think about this conversation.
I think we should follow the word of God. You know, like a lot of people are gonna say what's gonna save you, and they give you all these explanations. But as long as you have faith in God and you know that he forgives you for your sins, well, at the last moment, you guys are gonna find out. We're all gonna find out, right?
Right. And I hope, Rosa, I appreciate you coming on. I hope that when we do find out, we found out that he says, good job, my faithful servant. You know, and the way we're going to find out for sure, like I said, is not trusting me or anybody else on the street, but trusting his word. And I encourage you to open it up and make sure what I'm telling you is true. Rosa,
okay.
you have a great night. And Bobby will answer any more questions. I appreciate you coming on with me.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. You know what, we're going to come right back from the break, wrap it up here. We appreciate you guys being with us. 888-995-KKLA if you have any questions for the last 5 minutes, and we'll see you at the end.
And only a moment.
This is Greg from Last Words Radio. There's now another way you can help support Last Words and get a big, fat tax deduction at the same time. If you have a used car which has seen its final days, go to our website, lastwordsradio.com, and click on the Cars for Causes link. Cars for Causes is a charity that gives to charities, and Last Words is set up to receive your donation when you donate your used car, boat, or RV. It's quick and easy, and it's a great way to help financially support our radio show. Grab your used 2008 BMW or your 1985 Toyota Tercel and go to lastwordsradio.com. Click on Cars for Causes and a representative will help you help us. That's lastwordsradio.com.
You know, we'll leave a minute or so if you want to call in. Drew and I were talking at the break. And I think what the most frustrating thing, and this is not to bag on Rosa at all, and that Drew made a good point, is that's what the spiritual battle is in, is Drew very articulately went through the gospel, and she was listening. And then when he kind of did the quiz at the end, when he said, so Rosa, what do you think about this conversation? And everything he said, she didn't get.
Yeah, I think my point was she wasn't offended at it.
No, and she wasn't rude.
Get
and
it
she
and
wasn't
say, I
disagree.
It.
Right. She didn't understand.
Right over.
It went right over her head.
And this is a girl who's grown up in church, hopefully heard it before, but somehow still thought that all you have to do is believe in God.
But even after you went through the whole thing, 10 minutes, 15 minutes worth, and again, it's not, I'm not disparaging her, and it's, sometimes it's easier when a person says, yeah, I understood everything you said. I just deny it.
And I get a lot of that, too. Yeah, hey, thanks for sharing your beliefs. I still don't buy it.
But she seemed to be genuinely listening, and so when you did the quiz part, I really thought that she would understand.
So how about
repeat it back to you.
If she wasn't able to get it after a clear presentation of it and a discussion with her, how is she going to get it if all I do is be friends with her for 10 years?
Yeah.
If I never, ever even go that far to mention it.
Yeah.
You know, so I encourage you, hopefully if you've never listened to this show before, you got an example of, it was a pleasant conversation. She said, God bless you at the end. There was no argument. There was no anything. It was, hey, let me share this with you. Let me share what the Bible says. And I encourage you as Christians, Those are the kind of conversations we can have with people. Those are the kind of conversations you can have at Thanksgiving. Those are the kind of conversations you can have at the mall. And if you're not equipped to do that, let us know. Let us help you out. Get your, you know, you should be able to, as a Christian, be able to, at some level, share the gospel with somebody. And in a loving way, in a very nice way, be friendly, but get out. And some of the parts are hard. I mean, I had to tell her that, what do you think happens to someone who sins? What do you think is going to happen to you? And she told me, you know what, God would have to send me to hell for what I've done. She got that part.
Right. You know? Did she say what her religious background was?
She said Christian.
She said Christian.
I mean, this isn't an attack on a particular church.
I was just curious to know what the, well, not a particular church, but maybe what, you know, we run
into. We can make assumptions based on names and cities and all that stuff. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The gospel is the gospel. No matter what church you're with, if you've grown up in it your whole life or you've never heard it before, the beauty of it is we're all sinners. Even if you're the yogi on the mountain in Kathmandu or you're grown up in Downey 16 years in a church every week, you still need to be told God's holy, he's going to judge us, and he's made a way for us to be forgiven. And Jesus Christ is the only way for us to be forgiven. And it's not mean. It's not intolerant. In fact, it's accepting of everybody. That message goes out to everyone.
You know, and I was thinking, too, while you were going through it and putting it in context about the clip we played earlier with that guy, because he was so concerned about not being friendly. He kept bringing that up. I'm so concerned.
And we get judged for that. Oh, I wouldn't want to do what you do because you're mean.
Right. And I really listened to you, Drew, this time when I was in the other room and back in here. I really listened to you as an example, and I thought, what was unfriendly about that conversation? And if you are a Christian and you've listened to our show, and we do get Christians that call that disagree with our approach. We do. We get that all the time. But let me ask you this question. I want you to think about it. Just give us this 30 seconds to think. At what point was Drew rude, snarky, disrespectful? And again, if you're a Christian and you believe that there should be a long bumper of time before you give someone the full gospel, would you do me a favor and just at least one more time, take a second, examine yourself, and see if maybe the real reason you might not want to discuss repentance and grace is because you're simply afraid. If that's really what it comes down to, if you just be honest with yourself, look, we all are. I'm sure that your heart beat a little bit. Every time before we start doing the fish, the heart beats a little bit. Sometimes before we go on the box, I'll notice I take a little longer to get my equipment ready.
I chicken out every time I go out, and I need to almost be dared into
it. And I did. I chickened out with this guy last week. But the full gospel compels us to do it in spite of our feelings. We have to share it. We have to. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think that's the reason. I think that's the whole reason. It is based on fear. We don't want to do it because we're afraid we'll lose that person.
I don't want to seem like a jerk. I don't want to lose the relationship.
I don't want to be. But no, it seems like people that really latch on to friendship evangelism, they won't admit that. And I wish that you would just take a couple second look. Again, it is the full gospel. It only takes a few seconds, like Drew did. It took him 2 minutes to establish this relationship with Rosa. He was kind. He was loving. But he did not compromise truth. And that's what we do here on Last Words Radio. That's what many of you are doing out there. It's not us, just us. We're not isolated. You're in the chat room. You're across the United States. We've got people that listen across the world. You're doing the same thing. We stand with you on that. But if you have not yet shared your faith because you are afraid and that is the truth, know that you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. Our Father is with you. He will give you the strength, and do it in spite of your fears. I'm telling you, once you start, after the first 30 seconds, you'll calm down. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will take off. And we just want to encourage you. We're not here to condemn you. We're just saying, get out there, get up, get out, and share your faith. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I can.
I was clipped up tree around about 56 minutes from Last Word Radio. I thought it was from Rector Radio, but I was wrong. But it's still good. It was about called Bait and Sweet Jesus, Bait and Switch Jesus. And they don't have the radio show anymore, but they have the website, and they're doing actually a series instead. It's like kind of like funny, but and fictional, but teaches people how to do evangelism by using characters called Roman and George, and they like start off from being evangelistic for the like first time, so you learn with them how to evangelize people, and they do things like open air, and you'll see more about that coming. It's called The Adventures of Roman and George, and George, they spell like kind of like the Spanish version of Jorge, J-O-R-G-E, and you could find out more about that. They have a website, I forgot the Zap Girl, but you could look it up. Look for The Adventures of Roman, R-O-M-A-N, and George, J-O-R-G-E. And that's what they're doing with Last Word Ministry now. They did that radio show before, but now they're doing a TV show. And I hope you'll check that out and support it. I've seen that there's a trailer about it, and I've seen it, and it looks good. It's probably still on YouTube as of the airing of this show, so check that out. Roman and George, Adventures of Roman and George. And you're seeing Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And thank you for listening. We're on usually 2 to 4 p.m. 2 to 4 p.m. every Sunday. And sorry, today we had a lot of technical difficulties, but hopefully we'll be better next week. And hopefully my co-host will be here. His name is Tyrell. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.